There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Welcome back to WCN-TV. It's Tuesday, June 30th, 2026. Crazy, we're halfway through the year. Tomorrow is July. Well, originally we'd planned to discuss a bunch of different late-breaking news stories that have come across my desk as we close out the month of June. But after talking with my guest, I think it's more important that we tackle a different topic today. I realize it's one that's going to be controversial for some, but I'm sure today's discussion will be very eye-opening for just about everyone. Today, we have our friend Pastor Butch Paw on the program. Pastor Butch hosts the Call to Decision radio program every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evening. He's also a regular monthly columnist for Wisconsin Christian News, and it's always a great discussion when he's with us. You know, I appreciate Pastor Butch because he takes his ministry seriously. He takes God's word seriously, and he's not afraid to talk about the hard things. He's not so concerned that you're comfortable, but that eventually that you're convicted. So, Pastor Butch, welcome back to the show. I want to thank you for making time for us. I know you have your own show to do as soon as you're done with us today.
Yeah, that's all right.
I appreciate you working so hard. I appreciate you working hard and being with us.
Well, so, speaking of working hard, you're talking about yourself.
Yeah, I'm talking about all of us.
I mean, it's a team effort. You do what you got to do, and I do the same. We're hoping to glorify God Almighty and maybe edifying the church and opening people's eyes to truth. That's our job. That's what we're here for.
That's right. Well, you know, folks, today we want to talk about Israel, what modern-day Israel is, who the actual Jews are, as opposed to the Israelites, and how so many Christians have been confused by all of it. We also want to get into where the U.S. is in Bible prophecy. Now, before we start, I want to clarify, we're not talking about replacement theology here. It's actually all about genealogy, as you'll soon be learning what I have just been introduced to. As Pastor Butch, I appreciated the in-depth article you sent me that clarified this, but what's really needed is some sort of a family tree type visual aid to keep it all straight. I admit there was so much detail and information in that article, it was kind of hard for me to outline anything to do the show. So I'm going to let you do the teaching today, and I'll ask questions as they come up. We're also going to give our audience members who are watching live a chance to ask questions and make comments. So get your questions ready and we'll call you in shortly. But kicking things off, Pastor Butch, tell us about modern day Jerusalem, the nation that's known as Israel today, and how that differs from Israelites of the Bible.
Well, you ask a question would take us hours to cover it all, but I'll try to be as brief as possible. But I do want to get into the how we have been deceived, including myself, for many, many years about our heritage and who we really are. But the modern-day Israel that we call Israel, that I used to believe and preach was the Israel of the Bible, simply isn't. It doesn't qualify. And I can prove that scripturally, maybe not all the day, but I can prove it scripturally. We have been sent into a great deception And as Jeremiah 17, chapter verse 4 says, that Israel will forget her heritage. That's in Jeremiah 17, 4. There it is. And thou, even thyself, shall discontinue from thine heritage that I give thee. I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For you have kindled in fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. So not only have we forgotten our heritage, we now are ruled by our enemies. And I don't think that's hard to see. Christian values and true beliefs are being under attack more and more all over the world. But even here in America and Canada, they just outlawed the Bible, basically. So this is nothing new. We've forgotten who we are. But that was planned. That had to be done. A lot of people may have heard of the word dispensationalism. Ever heard that, Rob?
Yep.
Well, I'm going to put my glasses on so I can see a little better. But I want to share with you information I think is very important. Dispensationalism, believe it or not, was started by two Catholic priests. I'm not making this up. Francisco Ribera and Cardinal Robert Bellarmine started this many years ago, and they did it for a purpose, because the Protestant Church was beginning to realize that the Catholic Church was a fraud. Now, I'm not picking enemies. I'm just telling the truth. And they were exposed to the fact that the Catholic Church as a whole, not everybody in it, but as a whole, including the Pope, were basically Antichrist. Well, that had to be stopped. So they started teaching a doctrine that was picked up by Darby years later and brought into, the Protestant churches. Scofield put in his Bible, and that filled the Baptist churches full of this false teaching that I used to preach and believe. So I'm not throwing stones. I'm telling you that I was given by the grace of God the enlightenment of the truth. And when I finally saw what the Bible was telling me and who we are and what we are, it made prophecy fall in place. I'll just make one short comment and move on. If you want to find out the prophecy for America, read Ezekiel 38 and 39. You'll find it and all about that. And the nations that are going to be there, that are going to be the ones that attack in the last day, going to attack the real Israel, are listed there. But we've been taught by dispensationalism a lot of different nonsense that, again, I used to believe. So this is not making fun of anybody. I was deceived because I believed what I was taught in the churches, what the elders taught. I believe what they said because they were authorities. I wasn't. That's not right. I wasn't.
Well, before you go on, let's clarify terms here and explain to those who aren't familiar what dispensationalism actually is.
Okay, that's what I'm going to do. It's a time period set up that divides the Bible in seven different time sections, I guess you could say. You know, I want to tell you through all of them, but they have, you know, the dispensation of law, dispensation of grace, the Gentile time period, the church's time period. It's divided in time periods, and they put it together to try to get people off everybody's looking to the future and not looking to the now that we're living in. We have a future, that's true, but people don't understand that while we're living right now, we're seeing prophecy being fulfilled in our day and time. Prophecy is not all future. It's happening now. Understand that. And, for example, they just divide between Old Testament, New Testament, law and grace. What they say was there was law in the Old Testament, grace in the New Testament. There can't be one without the other. They're useless. If the law is no longer in force today, we don't need grace. Grace is because we can't keep the law perfectly. But they say in the Old Testament there was no grace. Well, I think the Bible tells me that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Yep.
So grace was given then in a different way, perhaps because we had animal sacrifices and other things that were needed to fill the gap till Christ comes, till the Lamb of God came. But in the New Testament, they say we're under grace, so therefore not under the law. Christ did away with the law. That's not in the Bible anywhere. Christ did not do away with the law, the moral laws, the Ten Commandments. He did away with the ceremonial laws, all the sacrificial laws they had to go through. Did away with those. But thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, are still laws of God. Thou shalt not commit adultery is the law of God. All this is people are trying to destroy the idea that God is still sovereign and rules in the affairs of men. And sin is still sin, whether it's 4,000 years ago or today. And so we are under the law, so to speak, to obey the moral laws of God. The grace is what we needed. This was in Israel's time when they sacrificed the goats and the lambs and the bullocks. The blood was shed to cover their sin for another year because they couldn't keep the law perfectly. When Christ came, he did away with that need for a sacrifice yearly. His blood became the permanent cleansing from sin, not the grace to sin, but the grace to when we fall short, his blood will take care of that sin if we repent. Israel come together once a year and repented, and the individual did it, I guess, about every day, but once a year, the nation come before God in the Holy of Holies and repented before God, and the blood was applied to the altar. If it's accepted, the sin for Israel was cleansed for a year, but it's only temporary. Christ's blood comes in, and when you're forgiven, those sins are forever behind you. But that does not give you a license to sin in the future. So law and grace, the church age, the Gentile age, and then the so-called rapture is all part of that. And none of them are true. None of them are brought forth. Gentiles, yes, were brought into the church, but they were brought in before the New Testament. They could bring in foreign countries, and they could come in and become part of the people and obey the laws of God. So this has all been done to take our eyes off the idea of who Israel is. Now, I want to make one point here. It's very important. Just one verse, and we're going to look at Genesis chapter 24. And at verse 16, I want you to look at this. We're talking about the nation we now call Israel in the Middle East. And if I read right and understand right, there's about 8 million people in that nation we call Israel. That's about right. Am I right about anybody understand what I'm saying?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want you to read this verse with me. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of 8 million? What you say?
Thousands of millions.
Thousands of millions. And let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. Let thy seed nation grow into 8 million people, and we'll call you Israel. That's not what it says. Thousands of millions of people are billions of people. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Any questions so far, anybody? Am I getting too loud or too rambunctious?
No, you're good. You're good.
I mean, I'm trying to make the point as clear as possible. Now, I'll ask some questions here. I want you to just think in your mind. These are some clues as who the end time Israel is going to be. These are all Bible. I know I don't have time to get to all this today, but it's in the article that I offer for free if anybody wants it. The end time Israel will be a strong and mighty nation or group of nations. It'll be very prosperous. Will be known as a melting pot nation. It will also be known as a nation from sea to shining sea. It will have a Saxon origin. The number 13 will be conspicuous in its origins and symbolism. And lastly, it will have a spatial relationship with an allied company of nations who share its Saxon origins. Now, of all the nations in the world that fit that description, who do you think we're talking about?
Us.
Yeah, U.S., America. I mean, Israel's not a nation of mixed nations. She hates Christians. We're not allowed there. Now, I'm not making it up. I'm not picking on the people. And if you find the Bible, you believe the Bible, you'll find out these aren't true Jews anyway.
If you go to Israel today, you cannot become a citizen if you are a Christian.
No, you can. Revelation chapter 2 and 3 both state they're not the true Jews. And everybody, they're talking about they want to bring the sacrifice back into Israel and into Jerusalem, and the churches are all for that. My question is this: why does a Christian need a bullock sacrifice for their sins? Anybody?
Well, they don't.
They don't. That's blasphemy.
Right.
That's
right.
Idolatry.
Right.
Why would a Christian church and foundations want to bring Jerusalem back to sacrifice animals again? And I believe in Revelation 20 that it says there's going to be a new Jerusalem come down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not making any of this up. Now, if you have any questions, comments, when you yell at me, just wave your hand. But But I'm serious. It is the word. Thank you, David. It's the word. I can't help but I can't change that. But of all the items I've just mentioned, there's only one nation in the world that's fulfilled all those, and that is the United States of America. Go ahead, Rob. I can see you thinking.
Well, I need you to put the pieces together and tell us how we get to that. So how did we get from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to the United States?
Oh, boy, it took me 3 hours to teach a Bible study.
I know. I just threw you a hard ball.
You did, and I'll do the best I can. But understand this. This is really important also, that the nations are named in the Bible that are going to fulfill end-time prophecies. Now, they're not called Gomer is Turkey. It isn't called Turkey in the Bible. And Gog, Magog is Russia, but it's not called Russia in the Bible. You have to know who the nations are and who the players are in the field that's going to bring forth the end-time prophecies. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
Ezekiel 38 and 39, again, will give you a good outline who that is and what's going to happen. So if you don't know who the nations are and who we are in prophecy, how do you know what's going to happen in the future to the end times when the Bible said this is going to happen to this country, it's going to happen to this country? How do you know unless you know who they are? God didn't hide this information from us, but it does take study.
Yeah, yeah.
Betty, you're thinking awful hard. But it's just that if you just take time to look at the scriptures and follow them, and I'm going through it's such a total skim over things that would probably not make a lot of sense in 1 hour. But until you understand the prophecies given to Israel's founding fathers, Jacob and Abraham and all of them, until you understand this, so when Abraham was not a Jew. There were no Jews when Abraham was blessed.
Right.
They didn't have the 12 tribes yet. So there were no Jews. Understand? Well, Abraham was a Jew. No, no. No, he wasn't a Jew. He came out of the country of Ur. The people come through him, but he was not a Jew. So understand, we got to get this idea that the Jews are God's only chosen people, and they are part of Israel. Now, there were 50 states in the U.S. Well, Obama said there's 52 states. I say there's 50. But anyway, there's 50 states in this nation. I'm a West Virginian. We are Americans. But are all Americans West Virginians?
No.
No. So is all of Israel Jewish? No. They're one tribe. There's Ephraim and Manasseh and Dan and Benjamin and Levi. All those are different tribes. They're all part of Israel, but they're not all Levites or singled out by names. So you have to understand that when you say that we want to support the Jewish nation, you're not talking about Israel. When this nation we call Israel is founded, it surprised the world leaders that those people chose to name Israel for the country. They thought they were going to name it Judah. This is all history. So how did we get again deceived in this? Because we've been taught that now in this country for at least 200 years that in dispensationalism, Israel is a chosen people. We got to support Israel no matter what they do. They're God's people. That is not Bible. Go ahead.
I don't want to skip ahead. I don't know what you have in your notes, but if you can give us the genealogy, I think that would be a good starting point, foundation for people to get this.
If I would have known this question in advance, I'd made more details on it, but we'll do our best, okay?
Yeah, we just kind of winged it today.
We did.
So.
We did. Now, in the Bible, we all know who Jacob was, right?
Mm-hmm.
His name was changed to Israel. We all know that, right?
Yeah.
And Israel and Jacob was going to bless. He had through him come the 12 tribes of Israel. And he was going to bless the tribes. And he called Joseph, and one of his descendants, his son, Joseph, who was the eldest son of his favorite wife, Rachel. So Joseph was, I guess you'd say, kind of a pet child. I don't know what to say, but that's one way I know to put it. And he had two sons named Ephraim and Manasseh, Joseph did. And he brought them before Jacob to receive the blessings they wouldn't give him. So he brought them before Jacob, and Jacob put his hands on them in a private ceremony to bless Ephraim and Manasseh. Now, in the account, now this is Genesis chapter 49, folks, read it for yourself. This is important to understand this. As Joseph was, or Jacob was blessing these two young men, he blessed them with he said in Genesis 48:16, "Let my name be named on them, and the names of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." Israel decreed that his own name Israel, and the name of his son, his father Isaac, will be placed upon the descendants of Ephraim and Manasseh, the two sons of Joseph. Now, if you will just take time to read these verses in Scripture, you'll find out what you're saying. He placed his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, and it displeased Joseph, because the old was supposed to get the blessing of the right hand and the youngest on the left hand. And Jacob crossed his hands, and Joseph said, "Don't do that." And Jacob said, "This is what I'm going to do. This is my blessing to Ephraim and to Manasseh." He said, "Of Ephraim, I'm going to make a mighty group of nations. Ephraim will be over many nations in the world." Was Great Britain ever over many nations of the world?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Ephraim, that's a signal to who they are. Ephraim was given a blessing of being the head and ruler of many nations. Now that's been taken away as prophesied. He said, "Manasseh, I'm going to make a great nation. And the world will clamor to come to this nation. And that nation will become a nation of mixed races and many peoples. It'll settle many waters. It will be a nation of unwalled cities." Now, in the book of Ezekiel, it says that Gog, Magog, and all nations that follow her will attack a nation of unwalled cities. Is Israel a nation of unwalled cities today?
Unwalled cities?
Yeah. Are they unguarded wall a nation? I mean, are there cities open? Anybody wants to go in and out of them? Or are they fenced in?
No, that's as far as I know, they're the securest border in the world.
That's exactly right. So that can't be the nation that Russia comes against, because it's coming against a nation of unwalled cities. Only one nation know that he's prophesied he'll become a great nation, a mixed people, set up from sea to sea. That's prophesied in the Bible, beginning of Genesis. The only one I know that qualifies for that is America. Our cities are not walled. Our borders are open, unfortunately, too much in some areas. But that improves again Scripture in the last day, because the way that you can destroy an enemy is to invade them, so to speak, without firing a shot, maybe, and dilute their culture, pollute their teachings, and take them over without firing a shot. Has that happened to Europe and America?
It's happened to every Western nation.
Absolutely, it has. And Michigan, Dearborn, Michigan, it's now a Muslim city. And in Wisconsin, having some same problems where you come from, Texas is now also. This was a planned scenario to weaken and destroy the identity of who Israel is. Any comments?
Comments or questions? Now's your chance.
I mean, we got a lot more to talk about, but I'll never get all in 1 hour.
I know. It's so.
And by the way, Manasseh was the 13th tribe of Israel. They had 13 tribes. Manasseh was the 13th tribe. What nation has number 13 all through it? What nation has 13 colonies?
That would be us.
What nation has 13 stars on the symbol of the country?
That's us again.
I wonder why 13 is so prevalent in this country. Maybe it could be lined up with scriptures, perhaps. You see, this isn't complicated, but it does take time, and we cannot do it in a one-hour program, but I want to just be able to whet people's appetite to let them know that I have a teaching that it's available to them. I give them away if I could afford to ship them, but I can't. We have a three-hour DVD or CD, an article of CNTU, and a book comes with it. They'll explain this to them if they want to watch it and understand it. And it's such a blessing to know that once you understand this, what's happening in the Middle East today makes sense.
Yeah.
What's happening in Russia makes sense. With Ukraine, it makes sense. And to be quite honest with you, in the book of Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 38, it talks about God will put a hook in Russia's mouth. This is Gog and Magog, but they'll put a hook in their mouth and pull them back against Israel. That's what he says he's going to do. Well, I wonder if us arming their enemies, sending the missiles that can attack their capital city and destroy their infrastructures, and Europe supplying the same thing, if the nations we call Europe and America are the ones supplying Russia's enemies, could that be part of the hook to pull them back against us? Now, doesn't prophecy make sense to you now, Rob?
Well, it made it a lot. Reading the article that you sent me made things a lot more clear. It's like a light bulb goes off in your head when you actually follow it. But I know it's too detailed and intense to get through the whole thing here today, in about a half hour that we have left. But connect the dots between Ephraim and Manasseh and
Ephraim and Manasseh are brothers,
right? And where their descendants?
Well, their descendants now. Ephraim is, we'll say, the British Isles and other Western European nations.
Okay, how do you get that
from the scripture? When they said he'll make a multitude of nations from Ephraim, he'll make a multitude of nations, and the nation of Israel, people of Ephraim, will rule nations all over the world.
Okay.
Did Britain not one time have India and many other continents, so to speak, under their thumb?
Right. Yep.
Africa, all through there, they actually did what God prophesied would happen. They would rule nations all the world, and Manasseh would become the mightiest nation ever to exist on the earth, the most blessed nation ever to exist on the earth. And why have so many nations and peoples give up everything to come to America over the last 250 years? What do we have they didn't have? We said we had liberty, of course. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So with that, we become a great nation as prophesied, because we were a nation that God was blessing. But in the last day, you said, you'll forget who you are, and I'll have your enemies rule over you. Well, I've got to ask, who rules over us now, not only in the Congress and the White House, but around the world? Who pulls our strings? Who makes all the decisions for us? Are the people in this country the ones who make the decisions? Are people in this country even involved? Do they even care?
Well, if you're asking who rules over us, it's just about everybody.
That's very true. And he said he'd make a laughing stock of us, of Israel, and become a laughing stock. People will go by and wag their heads and look at him, think, this nation that once was so great, look at it now. Do you think America is respected by the world now as it used to be?
No.
So what I've said so far is very obvious. Mm-hmm. So we've been deceived into believing that we're supporting Israel when we support that little piece of land we call Israel in the world today. The nation of Israel and the Middle East had to happen, because the Bible said Jerusalem will become a burdensome stone around every country in the world's neck. And that's what it's become. It's prophesied.
Well, it's amazing to me that little tiny piece of land Jerusalem still in the news all these thousands of years later, still the forefront of everybody's, still in front of everybody's mind. It's in the news daily. So,
well, keep in mind that nation has only existed 78 years, 79 years, when we call Israel now.
Well, yes, but.
It was more or less inconsequential until we supported them with other people to make them a nation on their own. And again, when they named themselves Israel, the people in the world were shocked because they said they were Jews. Why not name them Judah? Well, if they would just name themselves Judah, they wouldn't have had to pull with the church they have right now.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying about that?
So give us the definition of Jews.
Jews are descendants of Judah. The okay. Judean people are Jews. Christ was a Jew. And that's Bible. But now you have to understand too, in Matthew 27, it says that the Jews cursed themselves when they crucified Christ and said, let his blood be upon us or our children. They cursed themselves. They become antichrist. Not all of them. I'm not saying they can't be born again and saved. That is not, that's a lie. They can be, but the masses will never be. They curse themselves. They hate Christ. They say he's been cursed. He's cursed and burning right now and soaking in urine and feces. And they hate Christians. The preacher in Montana, who am I thinking of? He ran for president. Good gosh.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name.
I can't think of his name. Don't tell me. What is it? Who? Somebody help me. What's his name? Chuck Baldwin.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
He went over to Israel several years ago. He left the tour group, and he was attacked, spit on, and attacked by these so-called Jews. They hate him. Now, I want you to make another point here. If you had two enemies, and you want both of them destroyed, if you had a way to make them fight amongst themselves and destroy each other, would that benefit you?
Certainly make things a little simpler.
It would make that simpler. Yeah. Well, this nation we call Israel hates Christians, and they hate Muslims. Why are they instigating war between us and Muslims?
What was that question? I didn't.
Yeah, that's a question. I mean, why would they do that? They hate us and hate the Muslims both. So why not have us fight each other and destroy each other? That makes their job easier.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You see, we gotta quit thinking like we've been programmed in these so-called churches. And believe me, I was programmed. Now, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I had to come a long ways to understand this.
Tell us what Jesus meant when he said, you say you're Jews and you are not. You are the synagogue of Satan.
They're Edomites. They're Edomites. They're not true Jews. Edom has always been an enemy of Israel. Edom was always an enemy of Israel. And they took on that form of a Jew. See, the people, most people that are right now in Israel today are not Jews. They're not even from that area. A lot of them come from around Ukraine, other places in that area there. They moved to Israel, and they chose the Jewish religion. But they're not Jews. Mm-hmm. And if you understand, Christ faced them. If you remember right in the Bible, when Christ stood up before the Pharisees and Sadducees, remember, the Pharisees and Sadducees were the church leaders of the day, right?
Yep.
And who did Christ say they were? What did he say they were? They were whitewashed sepulchers. They were filled with dead man's bones. They were hypocrites. They were generation of vipers. And he said, you are the son of your devil. Not, you know, we come from God. He said, no. Said, you're the son of Satan. He's a father of liars, and you're liars. Why do you think they hated him? He was a Jew.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Bible says he came to his own received him not. So the Jewish people had him crucified because he tore down their playhouses. And this is what happened. This is how we come to be deceived to think that this is Israel, but it is not Israel. The name when we call it, it doesn't fit who they truly are. These people mostly are Edomites. They're not Jewish at all. There's some Jews there probably, but I've known Jews that went over there, come back because they said it wasn't what it was supposed to be. I mean, Tel Aviv is a center for the world's sexual perversion. It's a capital world for sexual perversion. Tel Aviv.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So, I mean, I'd love going for hours, but we have been deceived and not knowing who we are simply because they want to conquer the Lord's people. And I'm not saying because we're descendants of we're Israelites. I'm not saying that we're just grafted right in and made. No, we must be born again, just like everybody else. I'm not trying to claim any special thing with us, but I will say this: because we were given so much, much is required of us, and we failed that miserably. And that we're prophesied in Scripture that Israel will turn into Sodom, Well, has Israel turned into Sodom? Has America turned into Sodom? Has Europe turned into Sodom?
Pretty much the whole world.
Yes, that's very true. But we are the head of it.
Yeah.
We not only do it here, we export it.
Right, right.
We send out all manner of filth all over the world. We're the leading country. Well, now, take it back. The one we call Israel is probably maybe right at the top, too. But we export more sex slaves and more human trafficking than any country in the world, basically. The prophecies concerning us are coming true, and people won't see them because they don't want to believe it.
Let's bring in David and then Betty.
Okay.
Anyone else with questions or comments, raise your hand. Just there's a little hand button you got to push.
So all through the Scriptures, not just the Old Testament, but New Testament as well, God cuts off Israel as his people. And then when the Christ comes, he grabs us into that mold of his people. Just in Hosea 1:9, God told Hosea to name a child Lo Ami, and that literally means not my people, right? So he was telling them, for you are not my people and I'm not your God. Matthew 21:43, therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit.
Amen.
Matthew 23, Acts 13:46, with Paul and Barnabas, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. Romans 11:20, they, the unbelieving branches, right, Israel, were broken off because of their unbelief.
Amen.
Hebrews 8:13, in speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. He made the first one null. And what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away.
Amen. And
it's all throughout the Scriptures. That was just a handful of passages.
And praise God that happened like that. Christ brought forth a dominion, if you will, that was denied by most of the people and about all Jews at the time, and probably most of Israel. But Israel was not in Rome at the time. They were scattered all over the world. Jews were there. Most of Israel was not. That's why they had to go out there and tell them these things. And he said, because you won't receive them, I'm going to cut you off. That's why we're cursed.
Okay, Betty.
Yeah, you're nailing it, Pastor Butch. You know, people are accepting this garbage with Israel, you know, with open arms. You know, the truth sounds like hate. So I've lost a lot of family members and friends again. But Israel is the abortion capital of the world. Israel is the genocide capital of the world. It is the homosexual capital of the world. They just had a large pride event on the Dead Sea, close to Sodom and Gomorrah, where Satan fell. Israel is the largest child trafficking capital of the world, crime mafia capital of the world, you know, and we're supporting this garbage. So I do pray for Israel, but I don't support them.
Amen.
Well, you know, when this war launched against Gaza, we've got Christian churches and pastors supporting Israel, and yet Israel is killing the people in Gaza. And there's a good, I don't think it was a majority, but a very high minority of citizens there that were Christians. So we were supporting.
They killed over a million babies last year. Israel, yeah. Pakistan kids and stuff, they killed over a million babies last year. And tell me that is a good thing.
Well, that and we support him. I said we as a nation. I certainly didn't, but I would have at one time in the past before I knew what was going on. But we keep saying Israel, and we cause it, they name themselves Israel. Well, they're not truly Israel, but we support these people who are anti-Christ that had Christ crucified, and we support them to slaughter innocent people, not just in Gaza but all the world, and they have and they don't want to quit. They can't even get a peace made in the Middle East because they don't want to quit bombing other countries. And Iran, by the way, Rob, as you mentioned, is the fastest growing Christian nation in the world as far as numbers coming to Christ. It's the fastest growing nation with numbers coming to Christ. Why would Israel attack a nation and turn into a Christian nation? Go figure.
Okay, Nancy.
Well, the question I have is the full everything about, well, right now I'm going through the Old Testament, and the Old Testament prophets, they said over and over and over again, you're naughty, you're going to be punished, you're naughty, you're going to be punished, but then I will restore you. But the question I have right now, because God has closed the eyes of the Jewish people until the fullness of the Gentiles. Can you explain until the fullness of the Gentiles? Is that what we're waiting for?
Well, I'm not necessarily a, you were asking me that or asking Rob that? I'm sorry.
Either one of you. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's where we are right now, because if the Jewish people are killing their babies, they have the homosexual right now, that God has just closed his eyes because they will be punished because of all of these things that are going on. But until the fullness of the Gentiles is my guess, so that all of the evangelism takes place with the Jewish people right now, until God is ready to say, we're done. We've got all the Gentiles in, and now we're ready to have the Jews. But I have to say, I don't understand that concept. Is that something you can explain?
Rob, you want to go ahead?
No, I have another question of my own lined up.
Well, I'll try. I'm not great on a lot of prophecies. I'm still studying myself. But who did Christ come for in the Bible? Who did he say he come to?
For the Jews. For the Jews first,
no,
and then
he didn't say Jews.
He for come Israel?
To the lost tribes of Israel.
Okay.
That's who we're talking about, Gentiles. They were gone. They were lost. The lost tribe of Israel, the lost tribes of Israel. He come to his own, the Jews, and they didn't receive him. He said, take it out into the rest of the world. And by the blessings of that gospel being preached in the whole world, all peoples can become with Christ now. All of them. No matter who they are, they can come to Christ through the blood of the Lamb, just like anybody else can. But because I come for the lost tribes of Israel, take this out to them, it's spread around the world. Because we were all over the world. And God has blessed the world, as he told Abraham, thou bless the world because of you. Not because we're good, because he promised he would do that because of the gospel of Christ. Whether we receive the gospel or not doesn't mean the next door neighbor is not going to. Mm-hmm. We may curse ourselves, but millions will come to Christ through faith because the gospel is being preached. Mm-hmm. That make any sense to you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, no charge.
Spencer, can you bring up Genesis 12:3 and Pastor Butch, if you'd read that for us and explain that, because that is what modern American churches are doing. That's why they're doing what they're doing.
Oh, bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. It's not talking to even to Israel there. He's talking to Abraham. There was no Israel. That had nothing to do with the Jews or Israel or anybody else. Back up to verse 1, please. Well, you got a good producer there. He's right on the ball.
Yeah, he's on the ball.
Now, the Lord said unto who? Israel?
Abram.
Abram, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee. Not Israel. Abram. That doesn't mean that he didn't bless those that would maybe bless his posterity, but he was talking there to Abram. Is that pretty clear to everybody?
Yes, but I'm also kind of confused, and I've been confused about Ishmael.
About so, Ishmael.
About Ishmael. Well, so is it true that the Muslims are descendants of Ishmael?
They are descendants of Abraham and Ishmael.
Right. Okay.
Now, did God bless Ishmael? Did not say, I'll make of you mighty nations out of you? Did not have 12 tribes out of Ishmael? And have they not grown into a multitude of people and become pretty prosperous?
Yeah.
He blessed them as he said he would. They were Abraham's seed also. And I make people angry when I say that, but I can't help it. They are by nature, by DNA, Abraham's seed. As a matter of fact, you'll find out that they're more Semitic than those in Israel call themselves Jews are.
Yeah.
That's through DNA. Ishmael and Isaac have been at warfare basically since 4,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Ishmael was born out of lack of faith, out of doubt, and mm-hmm. Isaac was a child of promise. Now, God did not curse Ishmael because he was not guilty of his birth. He didn't do it. Because he was a seed of Abraham, he blessed him. God blessed him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Betty.
Yeah, quick question. You know, the kingdom of God is within us. It is not up there. It is within us, you know. So my question is, are we part of Israel too, in us, living within us?
Oh, when you're born again, you become part of the family of God, period.
That's what I thought, you know, but we're Israel.
Yeah,
When you tell people, I'm Israel, they'd look at me stupid and tell me, get away from me.
No. We are descendants of the people of Manasseh. That's a fact. But we are born again into the family of God. We don't get it by just being born into a physical family. We are born again. Christ said, you must be born again. Talking to his own people, you must be born again. And that's what made the some of the false Jews so angry. You know, well, we kept the law. We done this. We tithed. And Christ himself said, that don't make any difference. You're hypocrites. You know, you do all these things, but yet you're full of degradation and filth. He called them what they were, and that's why they killed him. They wanted an earthly king come back and set up a kingdom and they could rule with him, but that wasn't what he came for. Yeah. He put the kingdom in us, and he told us in the last chapter of Matthew to spread that kingdom across the world, to go out and disciple. Now, I'm going to say this, I can't help it. He didn't say go out and save souls. He said, go out and disciple the nations. My word will save their souls. That's not your job. You preach the gospel. You preach my laws, my word, and I will take care of the conviction. The church got that all backward. I mean, a man that leads people to Christ is truly blessed, but we were to disciple the nation, teaching them his laws and commandments. We failed. We did it for a while. We were a great nation for a while, too. But look at us now. Now, we have more missionaries coming to America than we should not probably run the world. We have become,
and that's probably a good thing given our theology today.
Yes. As Beg just said, lukewarm sissy church and pastors. I agree. And I'll say this, and I'm saying this out of pure love, it's nothing brag on me. If I taught this in most churches, they'd run me off.
Yeah, that's that. So how did the modern American church get Genesis 12:3? I mean, if you try to argue with a regular church,
well, you look at it, there's no about, argument to that.
Yeah,
they can't argue that to you. It's only the Bible.
Well, how did they confuse Abraham with or Abram with Israel?
Yeah, because they've been taught that by the dispensationalists.
Okay.
They've been taught that for years. Schofield put in his Bible, Schofield was a scoundrel, to say the least. Womanizer, all manner of evil man. But he wrote the Schofield Bible with the help of other people who financed it. That, by the way, were so-called Jews, that to undermine the church's effectiveness in this world, in this country. He financed it and taught all that in the scriptures, but in the Bible, his footnotes said, well, this means that and this means that. Don't take footnotes to be the gospel. They're a man's opinion. Study for yourself.
Right.
See, okay, I got along just fine with all the churches I worked in for a while until I started reading the Bible on my own.
Yeah, that'll happen. David, come on in.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of touch on what Nancy said about until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So the current partial spiritual blindness that was placed on Israel is going to continue until God has completed his saving work among all the Gentile nations.
Good point.
After or as, right, that happens, then only then is the way going to be open for them to have full restoration and salvation if they choose to believe.
Amen. Good
so
point, David.
That's
good
what
point.
It really leans on. Israel is no longer God's people in the old covenant sense, but they still are fully open to God's saving grace.
Amen.
Just as anyone else is. I mean, if you picture like the olive tree, right? Romans, I think 11, that's God's people. The natural branches were mostly broken off because of unbelief. That was your ethnic Israel. Your wild branches, which are us, that were grafted in. But the broken off natural branches can be grafted back in if only they believe. And so I hope that kind of answered your question. But the fullness of the Gentiles is once he is done with all of us, then he will offer that same chance for Israel to be restored if they only believe.
And you stop and think what you said in the prophecy in Genesis, there are thousands of millions of his people.
Amen.
And remember that.
Amen.
So
and if you do look at
millions. Go ahead. I'm sorry, David.
No, it's okay. If you do look at Israel and Tel Aviv and all that's going on, I mean, I sent out a video earlier and I posted it on Facebook, but we're talking like right here in our country, they're engaging in fetishistic, deviant sexual practices and behaviors on the sidewalks of our streets.
Absolutely.
In front of children and an audience of parade goers. And then you have to imagine that it's 1,000 times worse in Tel Aviv.
That is again fulfilling prophecy. It really is. And keep in mind this nation we call Israel today is not Israel. If there are Jews there, then they are part of Israel, but they're not Israel. They're not all of it. Keep that one thing in mind. That's important because all Americans are not West Virginians. Okay?
Yep,
it can't be
yep.
that way.
Right.
So, I mean, I wish it was, but it can't be that way. But that's a simple thing to keep that in mind. If you do that, it makes the Bible come alive to you. And that teaching I offer, if they want it, Rob, I've offered you, know that, 3-hour Bible study on DVD or CD, plus the outline, plus the book that follows it, and ask a donation. I think it's $29.90, something like $29, $23. I would give it away free if I could afford it, but I can't. But if I did give it away free, people probably wouldn't watch it. But it's available if you want it by contacting us.
Yeah, and you do that at pastorbutch.com. I'll just say that.
Well, then call the office if they like.
You want to give out your number?
Yeah, we have a toll-free number. If they don't have long distance, it's 800-777-4403. If they can call long distance, please call us 304-846-4448.
And Spencer, maybe you can put all that in our show notes. It was a very enlightening article that you sent me. But it was very detailed, which is why when I sat down to try to outline it for questions today, my head just started spinning. It's like, I got to let you do the teaching on this.
Let me send you the CD. You play in your car. We drive it around.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have a CD player in my car anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, we have, if you want DVDs, whatever, we got them.
Yeah. There's got to be a way that I can. Oh, I could probably put them in my computer and then put them on. I can do it. I'll find a way.
I'll get copies out to you Thursday.
So okay.
Well, CD, so, or DVD? CD, I assume.
Okay. CD would be better for me, actually.
Okay.
So, yeah, to me, it all came down to genealogy. And when that article explained that, that's when the lights went on for me.
Well, it's a great blessing to understand this, but it's a great responsibility also.
Yeah, well, and I read it, and it took me about an hour and a half to get through it, even though you told me it'd be 45 minutes. But I have to read slow, and I have to comprehend what I'm reading. So, but it's very good information. So, what's with the nation we call Israel now?
It is, as the Bible told us to be in the last day, to become a curse to the world. If Jerusalem become a burdensome stone around the whole world. It's an instigator of wars. It's a controller of true Israelites. It's causing wars all over the Middle East. This war we're seeing now is not going to end, I don't think. Now, I'm not a prophet in that sense, but I do believe this is not going. It's not going to go away, at least not for a very, very long of a time. We keep talking peace. Trump keeps saying, well, they're calling back to the tables, and Iran says, no, we're not coming. And we keep exchanging rocket fire and all kinds of things. So, no, I don't see an end to this right now. And what's happening right now in the with Russia and Ukraine, and we're supplying weapons to Ukraine to hit Russia with. We're putting that hook in the mouth of Russia to attack Europe and America. All this is happening to fulfill prophecy. And people say, well, it scares me. I understand it is kind of frightening. But isn't it exciting to see the word of God come true in your lifetime?
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I mean, nothing will surprise me anymore.
So,
but you're right. You're right. Every other day, the peace plan has been signed, and the next day, oh, they're firing missiles again. They're blowing stuff up again, and the Strait of Hormuz is open. And the next day, oh, they just sank another ship. You know, it's they're saying peace and safety when there is no peace. So,
well, that unfortunately, that's just what's happening. And until people understand prophecy, they'll never understand what's happening in the world. And I know I used to try to figure it out. And I used to try to tie all the prophecy in with the dispensations ideas, try to tie it all together, make it fit what's happening. It didn't work.
No, it's really disjointed when you try to follow that. And I know some people are going to hate me for this, but I'm sorry. We gave you some information on the show today that you probably wouldn't hear anywhere else. So hopefully you got something out of it, and you can get more out of it. Go to pastorbutch.com or call those numbers and get the full teaching on this, because it is worth it. So I need time where I can, probably a time when I'm driving, when I can sit and listen to 3 hours. Because I don't sit still very, very long. I do one project and I move on to the next one and I do the next one. So, anything you want to add, Pastor? We're down to our last minute.
Well, nothing except let's pray for one another.
Yeah.
I mean, really just do that. And I got to say, being associated with you, Rob, has been an honor and privilege, and with David also and the courage he's had. I appreciate him and all of you out there listening. I mean, we're a family. You know, families don't always agree in everything, but they still love each other.
Yeah.
And they try to work together. So well, we need to do that, pray for each other.
And we are having our annual family reunion at Coach Dave's on the 10th, right? Is it the 10th? 10th and 11th? Yes. Okay. So, Pastor Butch, you're not that far from Ohio. It'd be nice to see you in March again.
I wish I could be there. I really wish I could be there. I want to say what David just commented. The dispensation is a novelty. Yeah, it is. It really just started not too long ago. So, infiltrate church quickly. And y'all have a great time too. You know, I wish I'd join you. Tried to come and see you twice last year.
I know. I know.
They wouldn't run, so what are you going to do, right?
Right. Well, folks, as we've done in the past, we're taking a short break from the program here for the month of July. Today's show is going to be our last until August. WCN-TV is going to be on hiatus. But there's plenty of programs that you can watch on our site, WCNTV.net. So I'd encourage you to check those out. A lot of great episodes and guests that you probably have missed, but you shouldn't. So go there, and I'll be back with you along with Coach the first Tuesday in August. In the meantime, thank you again. Share the program, and God bless you.